all you hockey fans out there in digital land. I'm Edward Fraser here with Ryan Kennedy. Prospect Podcast is on the horizon today. We've got headlines as usual, an interview with Cole Lind, a Vancouver Canucks prospect, and we're going to be spotlighting the Pittsburgh Penguins. But let's start with those headlines, with a couple of players being sent back to junior, one of a bit of a surprise and the other one I don't think so much.
Yeah, Owen Tippett was sent back by the Florida Panthers, and Kyler Yamamoto sent back to junior by the Edmonton Oilers. Starting with Owen Tippett, this was a player that it was a bit of a surprise that he hung on so long, even though the Panthers had been saying in the summer they thought they had a roster spot for Tippett. Now, he's a great goal scorer, but I think this is the right decision because he's going back to what promised to be a very good Mississauga Steelheads team in the OHL. They were struggling mightily early on. I saw them live not too long ago, and they just didn't seem to have much energy going, but they started to turn it around. And with Tippett coming back into the lineup, they get a lot more potent. So I like this move, and I think having Tippett see what it takes to be an NHLer was perfect for him. We know he can score goals. We know he has great speed. The concerns were always, what can he do away from the puck? And I think by getting that glimpse, that's going to pay huge dividends for him. And I also now want to see, can he make Canada's World Junior team, and what can he do with that role? Now, on the other hand, Kyler Yamamoto, I don't think very many people at all saw him making the Edmonton Oilers, let alone lasting so long. But, they gave him some nice opportunities early on with Connor McDavid. And Edmonton, obviously, they've had trouble scoring, so why not keep up a kid who's very good in that regard? He goes back to Spokane in the WHL, and the Chiefs, right now, they're doing okay, but I think with Yamamoto back in the lineup, they will be much better, just because they have one more great option. They already have Jared Anderson Dolan, the Kings pick, and then Ty Smith, who's up for the draft. This year, we actually spoke about Ty a couple of weeks ago. Also, World Junior implications here, because Yamamoto is American, and he has played internationally for the U.S. on a line with Logan Brown and Casey Mittelstadt. And with Logan Brown getting sent back to junior by Ottawa, that whole line is available right now. And if they come together once again for the Americans, I would watch out if I am any other country.
Five Nations under-18 tournament is also taking place in Finland, and a ton of intriguing names in that event.
Yeah, there really is, and Team USA is kind of the squad to watch here. They bring basically the NTDP crew, and then they've added two players. Ryder Donovan, who I watched the other night, he's a North Dakota commit playing Minnesota high school hockey. I was pretty impressed with how he fit in on a team that knows each other so well otherwise. And Philippe Lapointe, who's actually Marty Lapointe's son from the USHL. But the two big names you're going to want to watch for in this tournament for the Americans are Oliver Wahlstrom and Joel Farabee. These guys play together, and they are both incredibly dynamic. I think one of them will probably be a top 10 pick, maybe both of them. Not sure which one yet. Farabee, very smart, a little bit undersized, but doesn't hold him back. Oliver Wahlstrom, very dynamic player. Both of them can cause havoc in the offensive zone. Wahlstrom is a Harvard commit. Farabee is a Boston University pick, so keep those names in mind. Also on the defense, we had him on the podcast, Keandre Miller. He's been playing well of late and playing good minutes on the back end for Team USA. And I'll kind of go quickly around the other teams. The Czech Republic, Jakub Lauko is a name to keep in mind for them. Played at the Ivan Hlinka, did pretty well there. Good skater, good skill. It'll be good to see if he can sort of step up to the challenge, because he had a pretty good Ivan Hlinka until they met up with Canada in the final, and then that was a bit of a shock to his system. So be good to see him on the international stage again. Sweden's got some nice players. Adam Ginning, he's a big defenseman, strong, takes care of his own end first, so he'll be pretty good for them. Samuel Fajimo, he's a scorer where he kind of gets in the right places at the right time, so I'm sure he'll hook up with some guys for some goals. And then Philip Hallander, he's a big forward as well. Gets up and down on the wing. He's got some skill there, so he'll be a fun one to watch. And then two more players to keep in mind. For Switzerland, goalie Akira Schmid. It's a fantastic name, if I might say so myself. He played at the Ivan Hlinka. Talking to a scout, really liked the kid's size, really liked his compete level, even though the Swiss were kind of outmanned in that tournament. They usually are when, you know, in the lower sort of rungs of these tournaments. At the World Juniors, sometimes they can survive. And then Finland, the host nation, they got goalie Eustace Annanen, and this is another kid, great size. You know, Finland, they have a great tradition of goaltenders, and he's ranked by Central Scouting as a B prospect, so it'll be fun to see what all they can do, and it should be a pretty good tournament.
The Northeastern Huskies are not an NCAA program that a lot of hockey fans are going to be that familiar with. They're not the Michigans, they're not the Minnesotas, they're not the Boston schools. But they're off to a fantastic start this year thanks to a couple of NHL picks and some other high-end prospects.
Yeah, Northeastern is kind of like the forgotten Boston school, although I still have that pennant in my collection because I have all four schools. But this, I feel like this is kind of like their year. Adam Gaudette, the Vancouver Canucks pick, Dylan Sakura, who's a Chicago Blackhawks prospect, they're the two big offensive drivers up front. Gaudette, he's got some nice size, he can skate, plays a 200-foot game, and he's one of the top scorers in the conference. Sakura, very shifty scorer, not as big, but can definitely put up points. He's right up there with Gaudette. And then for me, a player that's very intriguing is freshman Zach Solo, coming out of the USHL in Dubuque. I talked to scouts about him last year, and for some, they were like, yeah, there might be something there. You know, he can definitely put the puck in the net. He's not big. He's not fast, but he's pretty competitive. Others were saying, no, he's not a draft for us. But he's just tearing it up so far and playing center on a line with Carolina pick Matt Phillippe. And I have to think that he's probably going to get some interest this summer. I mean, it's only his second year eligible for the draft, and if he can continue to play the way he's playing for the Huskies, I don't see why a team wouldn't take a shot at him. One final player to keep in mind is Jeremy Davies, New Jersey Devils pick. He's having some great success on the back end for Northeastern, putting up a ton of assists. So that was a depth pick by the Devils, and it's looking like a pretty good one so far.
The Vancouver Canucks plucked Cole Lind in the second round of the draft this summer. He's an intriguing prospect. Ryan, you were able to sit down with him, but tell us a little bit about him before we get into the conversation.
Well, Cole Lind is a very nice offensive player. He can really shoot the puck. And, you know, he's still filling out his frame, bit of a narrow frame, scouts say. But, I mean, he just exploded last year for the Kelowna Rockets. And I really like the chemistry he has shown with Michael Rasmussen and Cody Glass. They played together in the first game of the series. And they played together, actually, last year at the Top Prospects game in Quebec City. And I think Vancouver's got a pretty good one.
Here's Ryan's conversation with Cole.
I'm here with Cole Lind of the Kelowna Rockets, and Cole, I'm speaking to you during the Canada-Russia Super Series, and Team WHL already has a 7-0 win, and you guys are playing again tonight, actually. But going back to that initial win, what were your thoughts on just how things played out and how Team WHL really sort of put the wood to the Russians?
Yeah, I think we had a really good start to the game. We got our feet under us early. We know we're a fast team and a skilled team, and we wanted to use that to our advantage. So we molded together. The lines really clicked throughout the game, I thought.
Right. Now, you were playing with Cody Glass and Michael Rasmussen, and what was interesting to me is I remember the three of you playing together at the Top Prospects game last year in Quebec City and also having a lot of success. What do you like about that combination?
Obviously, they're both really skilled players. You know, they both went in the top 10 last year, so that's a huge credit to them. And then, you know, Cody's a really smart centerman. He knows where to be, and then, you know, Michael's a big guy and uses his body to his advantage. And, you know, we used each other really well last night, I thought.
Right on. And how important are games like this for you where, I mean, obviously you've got your eyes on a spot with Canada's World Junior team, and I would have to imagine playing an international-style game here against Russia, it must have some pretty nice benefits for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think you want to get used to the style of game that they play and, you know, what it's going to take to get to the World Junior level. And, you know, lots of that is to do with the pace of the game. And, you know, I thought we really set that last night.
All right. And what can you say about goaltender Carter Hart's performance? Only 20 saves, but, I mean, some of the chances were very good chances for the Russians.
Yeah, I think in the first period alone, he had 4 breakaways on him. We definitely stood on his head when we needed to, and we had a little flurry there in the second where we gave up like 10 shots or something. So, you know, he definitely did his part yesterday. Obviously, he had a shutout, and you know, he's just a positionally sound goalie, and, you know, he really enjoys playing this.
Right on. I'm always curious, too, with this sort of game, you know, most of Russia's players came from overseas. I think they only had a couple of guys from the dub. Is there any trash talk out there on the ice, or is the language barrier prevent that?
I think some of the guys were going at some of the Russians a little later last night because they were starting to throw a couple cheap shots, but I don't think too much chirping because, yeah, obviously the language barrier, I don't think many understand the English part, or, you know, obviously we don't understand Russian either.
Fair enough. Now, playing on what's essentially a WHL All-Star team here, just sort of curious, is there any player that you're teammates with on Team WHL that you hate playing against usually when you're with the Kelowna Rockets?
Honestly, I think all of them aren't very fun to play against because obviously all these guys came here for a reason, and, you know, they score goals and do something to get in your face or something. So I don't think there's one guy on the team that's easy to play against on this team.
Right on. And must be kind of fun for you having a game in Swift Current. You are a Saskatchewan native coming from the small town of Shaunavon, if that's how you pronounce it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But what was it like growing up in a small town?
It was definitely different for sure. You know, just heading to the outdoor rink every day, going to play shimmy and just trying to get on the ice as much as I could, just to love for the game out there. It was crazy, and it's definitely really cool only being an hour away from my hometown, so essentially a hometown game for me tonight, so it'll be really a really cool experience for me.
Oh, very cool. And you are a Vancouver Canucks prospect thanks to the draft. I mean, every NHL team has a fan base that gets passionate. But I feel like at this point in, you know, where the Canucks are in their rebuild, their fans, they're very interested in the prospect. Have you found that there's a lot of interest in you this year?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel it. You know, even being in the BC division in the dub, I see a lot of fans at games and lots of people tweeting at me and whatnot. So it's definitely awesome having all the support, and I think everyone's really excited for the future with the Canucks.
Right on. And what was your experience like, you know, before you went back to Kelowna this year, you know, having some time with the Canucks organization, just, you know, preseason and rookie camps and things like that?
It was awesome. I got to be around all the NHL guys and, you know, skate with them, so that was really cool. And, you know, just seeing what it takes to be a pro and all the little things they do on and off the ice to be, you know, great players and great guys. It's really cool. And, you know, it was awesome getting a game in as well. You know, it didn't turn out how we wanted, but it was an awesome first experience for me.
Cool. And finally, obviously you've been very good at putting up numbers in your WHL career in recent years, but what do you want to work on the most this year as you continue to develop as a prospect?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think my 200-foot game still has to come a ways. You know, playing the defensive side of the puck is still a work in progress for me, but I think it's definitely coming. And I think a thing that I need to work on to, you know, get to the World Juniors this year is, you know, my speed and, you know, the pace of the game.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Cole, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank you very much.
Our 2018 prospect draft spotlight this week is on Jet Wu, who we actually featured in the magazine that we just closed. And he's a player who was already coming into the season, looked like a first rounder, but is opening some more eyes thanks to additional responsibility he's getting this year.
Yeah, that's right. Jet Wu plays for the Moose Jaw Warriors, and I had a chance to speak with him for the magazine piece. I won't spoil everything because there's some really nice tidbits about his background and how he got the name Jet, so pick up the magazine for that. I'm not going to spoil it. But playing for the Warriors, you know, their top defenseman coming into the season was Josh Brook, the Montreal Canadiens pick, but Brook got hurt. And Wu had to step up. And, you know, speaking to head coach Tim Hunter, he was very impressed with how Wu has handled the offensive side of things from the blue line, because Wu's specialty tends to be, you know, in his own end so far. But he's got him playing on the power play, and, you know, Wu is one of Moose Jaw's top scorers. So it's good to see that kind of growth and versatility in his game so far.
Is there any concerns about him? Because now, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum this year about being, you know, a puck-moving defenseman, a small defenseman. That's certainly not what characterizes Wu, but he's still a guy who a lot of teams would love to have in their lineup.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's got decent size, and he can move the puck, so he has that in his arsenal. For me, I think he's the kind of defenseman you want if you need a bit of a different look, because he plays the game very physically, you know, throws some big hits. You know, he doesn't drop the gloves much, but he doesn't shy away from it. It's just where the game is going right now. If you're that valuable to your team, you're not going to take a 5-minute major just to, you know, show up, you know, the other guy. So I think Brooks got an interesting skill set. I wonder, maybe this isn't the perfect comparison, but I think about like Matt Dumba when he was in his draft year. He was known for, you know, throwing some big hits and having some offense to his game and being a good skater. I'm not, you know, with Wu, I think he's got some of those characteristics and he can move. And he's showing that he can contribute on the power play, so I think that's all good for him. But I also think in a year where we have a lot of like smaller defensemen, for teams that are looking for something else, I think Wu can be a very nice option in the first round.
You have a bit of an anecdote in the Wu piece about that said about Wu and a hit that he did in front of an opposing team's bench. I don't remember it now, but it was cut out. But can you just detail that out, because it kind of tells about what kind of player he is.
Yeah, he's just not afraid of anybody. And you know, Hunter was saying that there was a couple instances early in the season, and the one you're talking about was against the Tri-City Americans, where he laid out a guy right in front of the Tri-City bench, and they were all squawking at him. They were trying to chase him down, and you know, he just took care of business, you know? Like, he wasn't going to get suckered into it, but he was going to finish his check because that's what he does. And I think it's important to have that confidence in your physical game and say, look, I'm not going to hide from anybody. I'm going to play my game, and, you know, it's going to be hard when I'm on the ice and for your guys.
There's some other Warriors who are actually worth noting. I know we're supposed to be focusing on Wu, but give us an idea of some of the other guys who are interesting on the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very good team this year, and Brett Howden, the Tampa Bay pick, leads the way. He actually just got hurt, but I'm not sure how long he'll be out, but he's, you know, sort of a key guy for them. Two-way player, good size. And then Luca Berzin, he's interesting because he's also in the 2018 draft class with Jet Wu. Berzin, more of a power forward in the making. And I asked Hunter about him, and you know, he was saying Berzin's still finding his way. And you know, that's kind of typical of power forwards. They don't tend to mature at the same rate as scorers. But that's a kid that I'm going to keep an eye on, see if he can put up some numbers for a team that has some nice scorers ahead of him. But in his draft year, obviously, you want to see what he can do.
Let's close the book on Wu by just giving people an idea of where we might actually hear his name called in this summer.
Right now, I would estimate that you'll see him around the 15 to 25 mark, depending on how many defensemen go ahead of him and what team needs are, but that would be my range right now.
Spotlight this week, team spotlight, is the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's hard to believe we're already at Pittsburgh. We're going reverse alphabetical order. We've done a number of these podcasts so far. They fly by. Penguins, you know, again, it's funny. We're on this run of like San Jose, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, teams that are consistently winning year after year. So they don't have really high-end cadre of prospects, but still they have a number of intriguing young players who we could see in the lineup maybe sooner than later.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh's a pretty good example of a team where, you know, they trade away picks sometimes when, because they're going for it. And their system, I wouldn't characterize it as very deep, but, you know, at the same time, they've shown a knack for finding guys that we didn't necessarily were going to be NHLers, you know, guys like Connor Sheary and Brian Rust and Carter Rowney, and those guys found a way. So I guess what I'll do is talk about some of the players that are at sort of that top end and sort of have the best shot. And Daniel Sprong is the number one candidate there. You know, he's already played games for the Penguins in the past. We know he can put up offensive numbers, very creative, very dangerous in the offensive zone. The mission for him was always going to be to round out his game. And, you know, he's playing in the AHL right now. He's getting a big role with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And he's, I mean, simply put, he's been one of the top AHL scorers so far, so good on him. On the other side of the equation, you have Zach Aston-Reese, ironically a Northeastern alum. And he was one of the big college free agents the teams were chasing last year. First full year pro right now. He's, you know, more of a power forward guy and an offensive player that's still finding his way. And that's not surprising. I mean, the baby Penguins are a bit older. And this is a feeling out year for him. Turning over to the CHL, just really quickly, you know, we talked about him last week, Zach Lauzon, the defensive defenseman that they took in 2017, still battling through whiplash, hasn't played yet, but, you know, I was told that he's day-to-day in Rouyn Noranda, so, you know, when the Huskies get him back into the lineup, that'll be big for them.
Lauzon, just to give Pittsburgh fans an idea, or at least get them salivating a little bit, in draft preview, we said a best-case scenario with this kid is Mark-Edouard Vlasic. You know, if you could ask for a type of player who you'd want a prospect to develop into, that's exactly what you're looking at. The next two prospects, kind of top-end prospects for the Penguins, are goaltenders. And, you know, with a guy like Matt Murray in net, probably not going to need a number one goalie for quite a while, but it's great to stockpile these guys if for no other reason that you have trade chips when you need them.
Yeah, Philip Gustafsson, he really impressed me when I saw him in the summer with Team Sweden at the World Junior Summer Showcase, put on a clinic against Canada. Great size, you know, takes away the bottom of the net, and he's got pretty good numbers right now with Luleå back in Sweden. I would expect him to have a pretty big role at the World Juniors, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do. And you're right, I mean, you always have to have that pipeline, and you know, you accrue these assets, and if you have to trade them, then you have to trade them. But, you know, otherwise, you know, when you're looking at the Penguins, Tristan Jarry is still in the AHL, and I'm not sure what kind of chance they're going to give him with Matt Murray ahead of him, but, you know, if he's getting minutes down there with Wilkes-Barre, I think that's probably the best for him.
It's so tough with goaltenders just because they take so long to develop. I mean, you just don't see guys stepping in at 18 anymore, so it's impossible to project these guys. Let's kind of go to the American side of things. Let's start off in the NCAA and Will Riley.
Yeah, this was a sort of an interesting pick. You know, he had been passed over a couple of times. I do remember talking to scouts about him in his draft year, and I believe he was playing in the Ontario Junior A League at the time. There was a lot of raw potential there, and for whatever reason, I guess teams just thought that, you know, he needed a little more seasoning than they were willing to forecast at the time. But now in his second year with RPI, he's putting up some decent numbers, and he's got great size. You know, he can skate, and he's got that offense, so I'm not sure if it's just a matter of he was a bit of a late bloomer or if the game is catching up to his style, but nice kind of savvy pick by the Penguins there.
And Clayton Phillips in the USHL?
Yeah, Clayton Phillips, this is a kid I watched last year. I thought there was some pretty nice potential as a puck mover. He had been with the Fargo Force. Early this season, he got traded to the Muskegon Lumberjacks. Still a point-per-gamer from the blue line. He's a University of Minnesota commit. And he'll be one to watch just simply because, like I say, he plays the game the way it's going right now on the blue line, where he can move the puck up the ice and, you know, he can help get you offense. So, you know, I think Muskegon, they tend to go for it, and they bring in a lot of prospects that are interesting to watch. John Van Biesbroek is their GM. So it'll be fun to see what he can do for the rest of the season.
Next week on the Prospect Podcast, we're going to be focusing on the Philadelphia Flyers. So note to the affiliates, we could go long.
Yes.
For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.